Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center at Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week is Dr. Alyssa Rios, pediatrician at JFK University Medical Center at Edison. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you. Well, between RSV, colds, COVID-19, and the flu, it can sometimes be kind of hard to determine one from the other. And I know, especially in the heart of COVID-19, we're like, is it a cold? Is it COVID-19? You know, it was total mayhem as far as that is concerned. But even like a small cough or a sneeze from a child may have you wondering what they have. So that's what we're kind of want to delve in today. And find out. So how do we know, are we able to tell as a parent when it's more than just a cold, or if it is a cold, or how we determine that?
Great question, Joel, and I completely understand where you're coming from. RSV, COVID, and flu have so many overlapping symptoms that sometimes it is difficult to distinguish which one your child might have. But thankfully, there are some symptoms that are a bit more unique to each that can help us figure that out. The most important thing as a parent is just to be aware of your child's symptoms. So if your child has a common cold, generally speaking, symptoms are going to come on pretty gradually. They may experience things like a runny nose, sore throat, or sneezing. Mm-hmm. But while these symptoms may be annoying, they typically aren't going to leave your child bedridden. In contrast, if your child has the flu, these symptoms tend to occur a lot more rapidly. Mm-hmm. In addition to the cough and the runny nose that you may see with a common cold, children with the flu also frequently complain of things like fatigue, headaches, body aches, and stomach issues like diarrhea. Okay. If your child has RSV, look for symptoms like fever, wheezing, and difficulty breathing. And if your child has COVID, well, we know COVID has a wide spectrum of symptoms that include some or even all of the symptoms that I've already mentioned. But if your child's also complaining of things like a loss of smell or taste, as mm-hmm. well as a sore throat, then he or she may very well be experiencing symptoms of COVID. Now, if your child is suffering from any of these symptoms, it's important to have them tested. Make sure they get lots of fluids and lots of rest and are staying home until their symptoms resolve.
For any of them?
For any of them.
Okay. Now, it sounds like, just the way you just went over there, for cold and for the cold, RSV, or what was the other one that you mentioned? The
flu.
The flu. For those three, we kind of have somewhat distinct symptoms. We kind of can judge which one it most likely is, because each one has kind of like a different type of symptom. But it sounds like anything can be COVID, any of those symptoms. And the only
That's
way you
true.
Know for sure is if you have a COVID-only symptom, which is, you know, loss of smell and the other things that you mentioned.
That's true. The symptoms, again, overlap, but there are some symptoms that are unique to each illness. But the only way we can truly know which one you have is if you get tested, and mm-hmm. that can be done by your pediatrician.
And so is there one test? I know, obviously, there's a COVID test, but is there one test that you can take that will tell you which of these four that we're talking about, cold, flu, RSV, COVID, that you would know which one it is? Or even if you just break it down for the first three, cold, flu, and RSV.
Yeah, there are a lot of times the pediatrician office do have rapid tests that can be done right in the office. It usually takes anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes. And from there, we'll be able to determine which illness your child has. It's through a nasal swab.
Oh, any of the four then?
Any of the three. The common cold is a little bit more difficult to tell. They can do that testing as well, but it's usually a little bit more elaborate and usually not offered in office settings.
What's the cure for the common cold?
Rest. A lot of fluids and a lot of rest. It's a virus, so you just need less time for it to pass your system.
Okay, and that's all you can do for a cold. I think we kind of knew that. We talk about the cure for the common cold for years and years. Why is that? Why is that the only one, it seems?
Why is that? I'm sorry.
That,
why is
that there's no cure for, that there's nothing you could do but rest and just take maybe some medications that could relieve the symptoms, but there's nothing that could just eliminate it. You just have to wait. You have to wait it out.
Because there's so many different viruses, and really with a cold, a virus, none of the antibiotics or things like that are going to help with viruses. It's really just kind of supportive care to make sure that it slowly leaves the system, but none of those medications are really going to work.
Okay, so we established the cold, what to do for the cold. Now, what exactly for parents, I would assume parents with older children kind of been through this, because the kids probably had these at one time or another, but new parents. So the flu, what is the treatment for the flu?
So generally speaking, if a child is not presenting with any signs of respiratory distress, the best thing, again, for all of these symptoms is, or all of these illnesses, is the same thing. You want to give the child a lot of rest. You want to give the child a lot of fluids and have them stay home until the symptoms resolve.
Okay, so there's nothing, but RSV, there's nothing else that you can take other than the fluids and the rest and stay home?
For the moment, no.
Okay.
There's a difference between once you get it, there's not as much things that you can do. But in order to prevent it, there are other things that we can do, like vaccinations, washing mm-hmm. hands, those kind of things. But once you get something like RSV, it's really just supportive care as well.
What do you tell a panicking parent whose baby or infant has RSV? Because RSV to me is when I hear that, that's a scary one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, RSV has been around for many, many years, and it's getting a little bit more publicity now, but it's something that's been around for many years. So the first thing that I say is don't panic. RSV, COVID, flu, all of that can cause serious illnesses in children, which is why we take the time to discuss them so that parents know about these illnesses, know how to avoid them, and if their child gets sick, we know what to look for and what those warning signs are. But please remember that the majority of children that get sick from these illnesses, while they will get sick, will not get sick to the level of requiring hospitalization. So if you're concerned that your child may have one of these illnesses, absolutely reach out to your pediatrician. See if your child needs to go into the office to be evaluated and or tested. But even if the test comes back positive, don't panic. Look out for the warning signs. But remember that in the majority of cases, the best thing to do as a parent is just to make sure your child gets a lot of fluids, a lot of rest, and are staying home until symptoms resolve.
Wish I had you when my kids were younger. Wish I could come to you. You had such a calming presence here, because I remember the panic. I remember giving the nebulizer. I don't even remember what that was for, but it was just like, the baby's sick. We got to take care of the baby. And it was, what do we do? What do we do? And it would have been nice to have a calming voice like yours. My youngest are 19 now, so yeah, we're beyond that. We're beyond that.
But
so
that's why we're here as pediatricians, right? If you have any concerns, any doubts, you're not quite sure what to do, always consult with your pediatrician. We're here to help. And if your child needs a little bit more support or a little bit more help, we can help you with that. We can give you extra things to kind of help. As you said, the nebulizer, mm-hmm. some of those things can help a little bit as well. But again, the majority of the kids are just fine with some rest and some fluids and staying home.
Yeah. What's Well, before we get it, I want to get into ways to prevent the kids from getting sick. And I think we know some of the obvious things that we've been talking about, but maybe there's more. But I just want, you said don't panic, which obviously no parent should do. But are there concerns that parents should have when it comes to?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to prevent your child from getting sick and from developing a serious illness it's important to consider things like the annual flu and the COVID vaccination when indicated. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Center of Disease Control and Prevention both recommend that all children 6 months of age and older get both the flu and COVID vaccines. While the vaccines may not prevent children from getting illnesses completely, they do an amazing job at helping to prevent children from getting very ill. This year, they also came out with the new RSV vaccination that's available for babies and toddlers meeting certain criteria as well. And of course, we can't forget the basic things like washing our hands, physically distancing from others, especially when someone has been sick, or wearing a mask when appropriate. These practices are great for preventing the spread of illness. But again, if your child is unwell, for their interest and that of others, please keep them home to prevent illness spreading and follow local guidelines for isolation if they test positive for COVID.
We're talking with Dr. Alyssa Rios, pediatrician at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. So we found out ways to keep them from getting sick, but a lot of people say, or you hear people talking about, you need to be around other kids. Like, it's good to be in daycare or go to school rather than maybe homeschooling, or even before, even preschool, because it's good to be around other kids so you can become immune to certain things. How true is that? So you can, you know, you can catch something so you can become immune to it rather than being sheltered from everything. And then when you go out when you're older, as an older child, you're going to get everything. Is any truth to that?
Well, it's very common that children during their first year or two of daycare may get sick more often. And it's true in that that does build up immunity, right? So it's okay. I would definitely not say keep your child away from any kind of daycare or any kind of place where they'd be able to interact with other children, because kids get sick. We know how to deal with illnesses, and the kids get better, right? It's just a virus at the end of the day. But at the same time, if your child is sick, then I would encourage you to keep your child home. Try not to let your child being sick go back into the daycare, because then it's just going to make everyone else sick as well.
So would you recommend, or is it okay to keep the child at home and sheltered from all those other children who are getting sick, or is there a better way to do that?
I wouldn't recommend keeping your child home. I think that at the end of the day, your child needs daycare for development, for social development, for just learning, and keeping your child home is not going to help with that. It's okay if your child gets sick. We don't want our children to get sick, but at the end of the day, children will get sick. It will build up their immunity to a certain extent, and it's nothing that you should be afraid of to the point where you're keeping your child from going and learning.
Okay. Now, we talked about the symptoms earlier for the cold, for the common cold, for the flu, for RSV, for COVID. Are there any symptoms that should throw up a red flag? Like, this is serious. I need to get to a pediatrician right away.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So if your child is showing any signs of respiratory distress, and that can mean things like wheezing, difficulty breathing, or even just breathing rapidly, you should notify your pediatrician right away. Similarly, if your child is refusing to eat or drink at all, this can lead to dehydration and is another reason why you should contact your pediatrician immediately. But when in doubt, if you're just not quite sure what to do, again, always consult your pediatrician. We're here to help.
Right. You always want to err on the side of caution and call your pediatrician. If it's nothing, it's nothing. But you'd rather it be nothing and call the pediatrician than it be something and not call the pediatrician.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. So are there other illnesses that we should be aware of anything else that is going around right now or something that comes around from time to time other than the ones we've discussed?
Those are pretty much the big ones. Those are the ones that tend to be the illnesses that may cause children to have to go to the hospital and get further help that way for further respiratory support. There's so many different viruses in the environment, so children can get sick from so many different ways. But at the end of the day, these are tend to be the biggest ones that you should be aware of.
Okay. So nothing else that we need to know about it, because I guess all the symptoms would be similar. So if we get any of these major symptoms that we've discussed, as we've said,
right, exactly.
Consult a pediatrician.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's the best thing to do.
Are there any other things to look out for? Any tips you can give parents? Things that maybe are not discussed very often? I mean, we have the basic things that we're talking about, but is there anything, especially new parents? What are some of the things? Let me ask you this: what are some of the things that new parents that you realize don't know anything about, and when they come in and you need to explain it to them? How do you handle that situation?
So, new parents that have children that are sick.
Yeah. Yes. New parents that have children who are sick or maybe aren't aware of certain illnesses because they haven't experienced it with their children yet.
Yeah. So if a child comes in sick, the most important thing is to take your child to the pediatrician, have the pediatrician do a physical exam, mm-hmm. and make sure that the child is okay. I think a lot of parents, they hear things on the radio or on TV about illnesses, and they get very concerned, mm-hmm. and they see about the hospitalizations and the rate. So my job, I think, is just to kind of calm them down as much as possible, and to say that it's really just about the supportive care.
Now, can we talk about medications? Medications that you shouldn't give a baby, but also medications that might be appropriate for an infant or a newborn?
Yeah, absolutely. So to be honest, for children, the best thing that we can use to help is really just fluids, rest, and just giving them some time to get over the virus. Now, you may have heard for the flu flu that there's Tamiflu. Initially, while that was really recommended initially when children were younger, now Tamiflu is kind of not as popular anymore. It's really not recommended as much, especially just because a lot of times you can get side effects like vomiting and diarrhea that are even worse than the flu itself, and it really doesn't minimize the length of the virus as much as we had hoped that it would. In terms of things like RSV, there's really no medication that you can give for that. Again, it's really just supportive care. If your child is in any signs of respiratory distress, then it's taking them to the hospital and having them give them a little bit of supplementary oxygen as needed. But at home, it's really just, again, supportive care and fluids. And then with COVID, I know you might have heard of the COVID medications as well, but those are primarily for immunocompromised people or people over the age of 65. It's not usually something that's recommended for children of this age.
Talking with Dr. Alyssa Rios. Dr. Rios is a pediatrician at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. I'd like to talk about brand new babies, newborns, when they first come in. I'm a new parent. I've never had a baby before. Now, of course, I have talked to people and learned things during pregnancy, but in my first visit, and I walk in, oh, nice to meet you, Dr. Rios. What do you say to new parents?
So I congratulate them first on having their brand new baby, and we talk about certain things that they need to look out for. So of course, it's the regular treatments of making sure that in the beginning, you know, you want to make sure that your baby stays healthy. So what that means is when you're with family members, you want to make sure that they're washing their hands. You want to make sure that anyone who is sick stays away from the baby until they're feeling better. But I always say don't treat your baby like it's a bubble, that they're in a bubble, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to be around family members. It's okay to show your baby to the world, but just be cautious. Do small little things to make sure that your baby stays healthy.
Can you give parents a tip? And you just made me think of this, because a lot of parents are like, don't touch my baby. All right, which is fine. especially strangers. You know, you see, so, oh, can I see your baby? Oh, how cute. And then they like, they grab their hand, they'll take their finger and they'll grab their hand or something like that. How, as a parent, obviously you don't want some stranger coming up and touching your baby.
Right.
Are we in agreement on that, right? I mean, just,
just
like, because they're cute. They're, you know, they're just grabbing the hand of the baby and they don't think, right? They don't think that, you know, they haven't washed their hands or whatever the case may be. As a parent, how, what's the best way to deal with that without being rude? And I remember my wife and I, we weren't afraid to be rude. We said, listen, please don't, you know, we don't know if your hands are clean. And so, you know, we would handle it that way. But is there a good, you got any tips for new parents on how to deal with people who just want to touch their baby because they're so cute?
That is a common issue. And honestly, it's okay to be a little bit rude. You don't want to be extremely rude, but just saying, look, we really want to make sure that the baby is safe. We want to make sure that you wash your hands before touching. There are so many illnesses out there. We want to make sure the baby stays safe. That's okay. And what I tell parents so that they realize that, look, this is something that we're going to advocate for our baby for is this. If your baby gets sick, especially during that first month of life, even if you think that it's a virus, if they end up getting a fever, because they are so young and because it can be something more serious, they have to have a full workup, which means they have to go to the emergency room, they have to get blood, they have to get urine studies, and they even have to get a spinal tap. So during those first 1 to 2 months of life, if you need to be rude when someone is insisting on touching your baby without washing their hands, it's okay. You are protecting your baby and making sure that everything is okay.
Wow, see, now there is something that I didn't realize. You're saying, and make sure I understand this properly, between up until 2 months, let's say, if the baby gets a cold, you got to go and get all that work done.
If the baby gets a fever higher than 100.4.
Okay. Yes. Okay. 100.4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's the fever. It's not a cold. If they have sniffles or, and you got to do that little aspirator thing that everybody likes to do, that's fine.
Yes. That's okay. That's very common for babies to have a little bit of a stuffy nose. But if they do develop a fever higher than 100.4, they need a much more elaborate workup, which is why it's best to be a little rude if you need to and make sure that everybody washes their hands. Or if they're sick, just stay away from the baby.
And could you just run down all the things that need to be done? Because I think this is a good, this will help new parents. And it will help them be rude if they have to. Some people don't want to be rude, but if they find that I got to take my baby for all these tests, I'll be as rude as I have to be in that 5 seconds, rather than have to go through that whole thing. So what are all the tests that would need to be done if an infant, again up until 2 months, has a fever of 100.4 or higher?
Absolutely. So of course, the first thing they need to be seen by the emergency room in order to determine exactly what tests need to be done. But generally speaking, if an infant presents with a fever of 100.4 and higher and looks ill, they'll need to get blood work done, they'll need to get urine studies done, and they may even need to get a spinal tap.
A spinal tap. So blood, on top of going to the emergency room, blood, urine, and a spinal tap.
Correct.
Doctor, thank you so much. Dr. Alyssa Rios, pediatrician at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. Thank you. It's been an educational experience for all of us, especially the new parents. Remember, be rude as you have to be so you don't have to get a spinal tap.
Right, exactly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure being here.
For more information, you can go to jfkmc.org. And for a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. I'm Joel Katz. This has been JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better, and we'll talk to you next week.